You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers, viewers, and listeners to a brand new edition of the Pewter Report podcast, energized by Celsius, the official energy drink of PewterReport.com, and this lovely podcast that we love doing oh so much. It is a Monday edition of the show. Hope everybody had a great weekend because it has finally arrived. It is draft week. This Thursday, the Buccaneers, unless they make a trade or something, will be on the clock in the first round on Thursday night. So as we wrap up this draft season, we have one more 7-round Bucks mock draft to get into. It is the finale of Pewter Report's 7-round Bucks mock draft that has been carefully and greatly constructed by the face that runs the place, Scott Reynolds, and Josh Capo as well. So I'm your host, Matt Matera. As I just mentioned, the face that runs the place, SR. Scott, how are we doing? You ready for the draft?
I am. It's always a fun week. I'll never forget back in, I started working for Buccaneer Magazine, which was the first inception of Pewter Report Magazine, which later became PewterReport.com. But back in 1996, that was my first year as editor-in-chief. That was where I got to kind of run the magazine for the first time. And my first issue was the pre-draft issue in April of 1996.
That's a long time ago, Matt. That's back when they were inventing dirt and things like that.
But I was fortunate enough to actually nail the mock draft selection for the Buccaneers in 1996. I had Reagan Upshaw from California, the defensive end, going to the Buccaneers in the first round. That gave me a little boost of confidence taking on this new role as kind of the lead writer and editor for Buccaneer Magazine. And it's interesting because Reagan Upshaw's son, this is how old I am, Reagan Upshaw's son was in Tampa Bay's local pro day workout. He was a defensive end out of Arizona. So when you're old enough to see these players come into the organization and then 20 some years later have kids that are playing football that the Bucks are interested in, it's kind of crazy. But it's certainly one of my favorite weeks. And I'm super excited about it, man.
Yeah, it's a fun time of the year. It's fun because football in general, the football season or the football calendar, I guess I should say, it's very cyclical. Like when we're in season, obviously it's all Bucks, who their opponent is, and then free agency is its own thing. But the draft season is fun because you're obviously very Bucks-centered, Bucks-focused. Right. But then you also think about like how much you just enjoy watching college football and the players that come from it. And I think like a great example as well is like it doesn't matter what team you played on. You could still be great. I think a great example from last year was a wide receiver like Zay Flowers that played on Boston College. And let's be real, Boston College has not been a good college football team for the last, 5 years. But, hey, Zay Flowers had a heck of a rookie season. It's the beautiful combination of your favorite football team meets just watching college football. And you kind of learn more about players. You fall in love with some players. There are certain guys that kind of just stick in your head. Even if they're not with the Buccaneers, you think about them, like, seasons later. Like, oh, I remember I was high on that guy. Like, good to see him doing well. Or, damn, I was way off on that guy. But anyway, it's a very fun time of the season. Bucks are getting new players and players that they don't have to pay that much for. So, yeah, it's a great time of the year.
Want to wish an early happy birthday to Jeremy. Says, can't wait to celebrate my birthday the same day as the great SR tomorrow. Yes. Well, I'm glad you're celebrating it. I'm going to be 52. The only celebrating I'm doing is just, hey, I'm alive. Great. Okay. it's a good thing. Yeah. I'm not complaining. It beats the alternative. But yeah. Jeremy, I hope that you're really celebrating your birthday. I'm like knee deep in draft prep as we're in the final stretch here. But interestingly enough, a couple of Buccaneers drafted on my birthday and Jeremy's birthday back in 2005, Cadillac Williams ruined my birthday by being the number 5 overall pick, Matt. He was the third running back taken with the 5th overall pick. How is that for extremely bad draft value? You know, Cadillac had a good start to his Buccaneer career. Injuries really derailed him. Who knows what he could have been, but he did have a 1,000-yard rookie season and was the rookie offensive player of the year. Now, the other Buccaneer gift that I got on my birthday that is a little bit more current and notable, Tristan Wirfs back in 2020, drafted on April 23rd. So
yeah,
that those were two memorable Buccaneer birthdays that I had as the draft fell on my birthday this year. I'm glad that it's not.
That's certainly going to be a memorable one with Tristan Wirfs. Especially the way it went down too, where it's like there's 4 tackles, the Bucs have to get one of them, and then it's like, oh my god, Tristan Wirfs is still there. He's the one that we had ranked number one out of a lot of those tackles. And then wait, they're trading up one spot. They have to give up draft capital to move up one spot.
Jason Light's best ever trade right there.
Best trade in the draft ever, moving up one spot for Tristan Wirfs. And yeah, pick that was on your birthday and will go down in the history.
Yep.
For the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, Tristan Wirfs could retire today, and he's not, thankfully.
Right.
He's going to get that big contract extension. But he could retire today, and that would still be an extremely memorable moment for everything he's already done for the Bucs, and, of course, winning that Super Bowl in 2020. So,
yeah,
a little piece of history.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this week shapes up and all of that. We do have roll call happening today at 4:20. It's Monday. It's why you're all here, right? Because it's the best day to join the Pewter Report podcast live, because we do roll call at 4:20. So at that point in time, don't do it now. Don't be early. No false starts. But at that time, let us know where you are viewing or listening from. And also, too, put in there who you want to see the Bucks pick.
I like
the first
that.
Round. How about that?
I like it. Yeah. And so then, location and... Yep. Keon Coleman or JPJ or whoever. Yep. So yeah, I really like that little twist on the roll call today coming up in about 11 minutes.
Yeah.
We always do it at 4:20. In the meantime, before we get into this final Bucks mock draft, we do have a super chat from our guy Rev Fish. Thank you very much for the $4.99
Thanks,
super
Mark.
Chat.
Appreciate
Just
it.
A reminder to everybody, if you super chat us, you get to cut the line. We make sure we get to your question or comment. This will especially be big during the Pewter Report live draft show, which is starting on Thursday. We get a lot of comments. We appreciate everybody that kind of contributes and gets involved. But there's only so many things we can get to. And obviously, Super Chats cut the line. So, Redfish says, between Vontae David, KJ Britt, and Servasio Dennis, and given other needs we have, is inside linebacker really a position that needs to be addressed in the draft? Or can we wait for free agents / cuts?
That is a great question, Mark. That's a fantastic question. So I'll just say this. Yes, it is a position that can wait. Because they do have KJ Britt, who's in the final year of his contract. Lavonte David, technically, also in the final year of his contract. JJ Russell, who looked really good in that game against Carolina.
Certainly was fine.
Yeah, I think Servasio Dennis, friend of the program, will be a better player in year two and having a better understanding of what it takes to be an NFL linebacker, as well as know this Todd Bowles defense more intricately. So I think that they can get by with that quartet this year. There's going to be a position, and Matt, I'm not telling anything you don't know. It's really more for the Pewter people. There's going to be a position that is not going to get addressed this year. Mm-hmm. The people are going to be like, I can't believe they didn't get an edge rusher. I can't believe they didn't get an inside linebacker. I can't believe they didn't get a wide receiver or whatever one position that is. They have 7. They have 7 picks in this draft.
Yes.
They're not going to be able to get that ooh guy at every single position of need. And sometimes you don't want to take you want to take the best player available really in every round.
Right.
And that will line up with some needs. All right. That will happen, but there's going to be a position. And I think that this is a position that can be skipped this year. In other words, if Edgerrin Cooper's there and he is clearly the best player available in the second round, then if they take him, you can't complain. Like, you can't make that argument that it's a bad pick, because if he's that head and shoulders above guards or receivers or whatever in the second round, you know, you can always address those positions later on. So I think inside linebacker, Matt, I think it is a position that they can punt on for a year. At the same time, though, they like Trevon Wallace. They like Edgerrin Cooper, Cedric Gray. Those are some names that we have uncovered that this team has a real sincere interest in. And also, they brought in Jeremiah Trotter from Clemson on a top 30 visit as well. So they've had Wallace, Trotter, and Cooper in for top 30 visits. And they had a couple of guys, Cedric Gray being one of those guys from North Carolina. It was a formal visit at the combine.
Right. That's where I stand with it, is if the Bucs do end up drafting an inside linebacker, I'm not going to be mad about it, because I think it's certainly going to be a situation where value-wise, like if they draft the linebacker with their first round pick, I'd probably be mad. But, you know, if we're talking about, you know, a day three type of pick, it's going to be because there is a linebacker on the board that they really, truly like and think can be a good fit. And if they don't draft an inside linebacker, not the end of the world. I think the Bucs kind of feel pretty good about what they have. It almost reminds me last season a little bit. Remember, when they drafted Trey Palmer, they traded to move up some spots and go draft Trey Palmer because they love Trey Palmer at the value that they got him at, which was a sixth round pick. So that could happen at inside linebacker. The Bucs aren't in a situation where they're desperate for that position. Though I will say, if you're looking at it as a whole, like you said, KJ Britt in the last year of his deal, we liked what KJ Britt did last season, but let's also remember it was, it was only a short,
very small little, sample size.
Sample size is the word I was looking for. It was a little bit short on the resume because it was so late in the season. Now teams will have more tape on him. Mm-hmm. If he's the starter, they'll try to look at different ways how to exploit him. We know the deal with Devontae David. He'll play for as long as he keeps wanting to play. But if he doesn't want to play, well, what do you do next season if KJ Britt doesn't pan out and Levante decides to go off to greener pastures in retirement and come back for his Ring of Honor induction? So that's where you kind of think like, oh, maybe they should have another guy in place. And on the last side of that, as I end all of this, J.J. Russell, I believe, went undrafted. A lot of great linebackers aren't first-round picks or even second-round picks. Yeah. You can find good linebackers really anywhere in the NFL from undrafted to late round picks. So it's not like, if we don't take them within the first two rounds, we're screwed. Yeah. That's not the situation at all. Bucks obviously have a lot more needs that they need to take care of.
Look no further than San Francisco, right? Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw. Want to say Fred Warner was a third round pick, if my memory serves me correctly, third or fourth round pick.
Yeah, I'm not exactly
Dre Greenlaw, I think, was a fifth round pick. So, two really good guys, not first or second rounders. So, I agree. Other positions I think that can be skipped this year, just the way that the draft happens to fall, inside linebacker, tight end, and running back. I think this team can get – this is a pretty good running back class. I actually like this running back class. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of studs, but there are some good stallions that can be had on, you know, the middle rounds, the late rounds. And I think there's going to be some of those players. Running back is a position. It's kind of a dime a dozen, even though I love it. It is going to slide. You're going to see some guys that have draftable grades, available as undrafted free agents. And I think Tampa Bay could go one more year without really investing another draft pick in a running back. Remember, they're just 2 years out from drafting Rashad White in the third round.
Yeah, I definitely feel that way about tight end and inside linebacker. I certainly see your point with running back. I just feel like it depends on how much Sean Tucker really takes a step forward in year two. And that's kind of part of the puzzle is sometimes you have to have patience with certain guys. I think tight end's a good example with Payne Durham. What if Payne Durham takes a big step? Then that's tight end's not necessarily a huge need. But I think running back, I'd like to have a little bit more insurance with, another running back in. So, especially with Chase Edmonds' health history, I guess.
Really getting a starting caliber running back. That's the thing. Is you want a guy for Rashad White's out for, like, if he goes on IR for 4 weeks, right? And then you get the 1 week back, the reclamation, you know, period, where you're kind of getting back in the swing of things. So if he's out 5 or 6 weeks, right, do you have a guy that you can stick in the huddle
100%.
And not really have that big of a drop off? That's the thing.
Yeah. And so many teams in the league now attack you in the running game or even in the passing game with two proficient running backs. I'm not necessarily saying the Bucs have to do that, but have more of a plan in place than, oh boy, Rashad's out a month. We got Chase Edmonds who could get hurt on any single play.
Yeah.
And then you're down to Sean Tucker and Patrick Laird from the practice squad, from the practice squad, the practice squad. So.
Yep. Adam Hamilton with $1.99 super chat here.
Thank you, Adam.
On board with the interior offensive line first round. Well, we are in this mock draft. I think that's a rhetorical question to the chat. I'll say this, though. There's a couple guys, really, I think, that you look at in the first round, and that's Graham Barton and Jackson Powers Johnson. Those are the two players that if one of them's there at 26, or if you're kind of within striking distance and you're Jason Light and you want to move up in the first round, go ahead and get it. But don't reach for another offensive lineman that may not be there. That's where you got to go to defensive tackle if Johnny Newton's there. If Byron Young happens to slip down, he's another intriguing prospect. Obviously, if Jared Verse is there from Florida State, if Liatu Latu is there from UCLA, those guys are in play. I talked about a couple of players, Matt, on Friday in my SRS Fab 5 that, that could be some surprise considerations. Mike Sanderstill from Michigan is a player that maybe you don't want at 26, but you trade down a couple spots like you did with Logan Hall. And then you get that other draft pick as compensation for sliding down. Then now you have another player you can draft, or you have some more chess pieces that you can use and trade to maneuver through the draft. Marshawn Nealand is a player that I would not be surprised if the Buccaneers pick him at 26 or slide down a notch or two and get. So those are some players there that and also Ladd McConkey. I know no one's really talked about Ladd McConkey. I'm just going to say this. Ladd McConkey, the only guy that I've really heard talk about Ladd McConkey to the Buccaneers was Greg Cosell, who we had on the program from NFL Films. And he said, we asked him point blank, I think you asked him, who's a good receiver fit for this Liam Cohen offense? He said, Ladd McConkey, right off the bat. And they have not had him in for a top 30 visit that we know of. They didn't have a formal interview with him at the combine. I don't think they have to. Look at the film. They have Byron McClendon, who is Brian McClendon, who is his position coach at Georgia the last 2 years in the building as the wide receivers coach. So in my opinion, that might be a surprise pick, but this is a player, 4.39 speed, national champion, willing blocker, high character guy, incredibly good, gifted route runner.
Yeah. Route running is the key.
Just a little bit like, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp ish. And those players really fit well in this Liam Cohen style of offense. But I do think offensive line, but you can't be pigeonholed to, to have that with tunnel vision.
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the biggest things for really any single draft is there are a number of teams that I think end up panicking. They panic and they draft the player because of positional need and not necessarily who's the right value or a right fit for that team. In the moment, and I think the Bucs have truly done a great job of not panicking in these types of situations. And you could turn to the Tristan Wirfs thing and say, well, how's that not panicking? They traded one spot. But they were dead set on Tristan Wirfs and wanted to make sure that he didn't get out of their grasps. Even trading back for when they eventually drafted Logan Hall, they knew they had a couple of guys that they liked, and they felt that one of them would still be there when they had the initial pick of the second round. So when other teams panic, the Bucs just kind of go, they ride the wave. They ride the wave. Yeah. They don't get too high or too low on anything. And I think once again, especially this year, when there are a number of directions the Bucs can go, whether it's outside linebacker, wide receiver, interior offensive line, any of those picks, I don't think anyone at PeterReport.com will necessarily be shocked that they went about it. And I think just having some poise will really go a long way in this year's draft specifically.
I agree. It's that time, Matt.
It is, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for some Roll call. We want to know, where are you at, pewter people? For those that may be joining the show for the first time or the first time in a long time, welcome. This is something that we do every single Monday show right around 4:20. One of us starts talking about your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And in the meantime, as we're talking about the Bucs, Scott will be doing that today. If you guys want to start putting your location of where you are watching the show from, we will put it up on the screen, like Charles here, Charles Peck, watching from Bushnell, Florida. But today, because it is draft season, please put your location and then also put who you want the Bucs to draft, particularly in the first round, as Jason has done here with being from Galveston, Texas. Shout out Mike Evans and Zion McComb, and also saying he wants Jackson Johnson. So, Scott, whenever you're ready, have at it.
You know, I really trust Jason Light when it comes to the draft. I think if you look, he's built a Super Bowl winner through the draft. If you go back and look at that 2020 team, it was Super Bowl ready outside of the quarterback position. That's what attracted Tom Brady to come to Tampa. And then to kind of twist Jason's arm a little bit, not that it needed twisting, but hey, would you mind trading for Rob Gronkowski, my old buddy, and tell him to come out of retirement and join us down here? So, yeah, I do trust Jason Light. He's shown that he can build a Super Bowl caliber team. I think the last two drafts have been really good. If there's a knock, it's always the running back position. We're not going to focus on that because it's not a huge need. And I think Rashad White has been the best running back, certainly, that he's drafted. But that's kind of been a blind spot for him. But it's another little bit of a blind spot that Jason Light has not had to deal with a whole bunch that could be a little bit of a pitfall. And that is where the Buccaneers are picking. So Tampa Bay, by virtue of winning that playoff game against the Eagles and going toe-to-toe with the Lions for three quarters before falling in the division playoff game up there in Detroit, they're picking 26th this year. And Jason Light has only picked outside of the top 20 two times. And I'll get to those picks in a second. But let's run down the picks that he has had as general manager between 1 and 20. And it's a pretty good track record right out of the gate. Number one, obviously Mike Evans, best wide receiver, best offensive player in Tampa Bay history. First overall for the Buccaneers, 7th overall pick, and that was in 2014. Jameis Winston, they needed a quarterback. Jameis had some promise, couldn't get rid of the interceptions, but of course he was the first overall pick in 2015. We can totally forget the entire 2016 draft. That was a terrible one for Jason Light. Vernon Hargreaves was the 11th overall pick that year. O.J. Howard was pick number 19. That's an important number because it's still inside the 20. And then he made up for a very ho-hum pick with the tight end from Alabama the next year with Vita Vea, trading down a couple spots and still getting Vita Vea at number 12. Devin White was a good pick at the time, and certainly the first 2 years of his career looked like he was an ascending player, 5th overall in 2019. But then, boom, here comes another Hall of Fame caliber player in 2020 with Tristan Wirfs. Jason Light traded up one spot to number 13 to get Tristan Wirfs. Then let's skip over the next two guys and go to Kalijah Kancey, who shows a lot of promise. Kalijah Kancey was the 19th overall pick last year. But the two picks in between those guys, Tristan Wirfs and Kalijah Kancey, were Joe Tryon-Shoyinka, who was drafted with the 32nd overall pick. That was the year the Bucs won the Super Bowl in 2020. That was the 2021 draft. And then the next year, the Bucs traded out of the first round and picked Logan Hall with the top pick at number 33. Those are the two picks recently that just have not lived up to that draft, first round draft pick billing. And really both right now are kind of in jeopardy. They need big seasons to have any type of future in Tampa. And we've talked about possibly drafting another defensive tackle, and that might seem crazy a year after drafting Kalijah Kancey, but that shows you how much Logan Hall is on the hot seat this year. So I say all that because Jason Light has done a very good job of drafting, especially in the second and third round. You look at all of the picks that he is drafted, from the Ali Marpets to the Alex Kappas on the offensive line, you know, drafting cornerbacks. Carlton Davis certainly helped this Buccaneer team win a Super Bowl, and then even having some success in third and fourth and fifth rounds. But It's going to be really interesting to see, can Jason Light nail a first round pick outside of the top 20 that is the type of caliber of maybe a Tristan Wirfs or a Mike Evans? Maybe it didn't have to be a future Hall of Famer, but maybe another Vita Vea, Matt, right? Maybe another solid player is capable of making a Pro Bowl or two and is going to have a career in Tampa Bay that you're going to look back and say, yeah, that was a hit. Because the last two times the Bucs have drafted outside of the top 20, it's been misses, I think, with JTS and with Logan Hall.
Yeah, it has a little bit, and that's definitely a very interesting way to look at it. I hadn't even really thought about that as when the Bucs have picked later on that they haven't found the success that they have necessarily with some of the earlier guys. So yeah, certainly something to look at for sure, especially with the Bucs. I feel like riding some momentum just this whole really since, I mean, unfortunately when they lost to Detroit, but I still feel like there was that feeling of like, hey, there's a lot more that the Bucs can do. And then they re-signed everybody. And then they had some key other free agent signings with Jordan Whitehead. It feels like the ball is rolling in the proper direction for the Buccaneers. And they could really put a stamp on it or an exclamation point with, you know, a big time first round draft pick that, you know, maybe excites a lot of people early on in training camp or maybe even rookie OTAs. But yeah, we know OTAs when there's no contact, it's kind of difficult to really give a full
assessment. Especially if it's a trench player, right?
It's like, oh my God, look how great. Look how great this guard moved with the coach with the pads on.
He's got quick feet. Look at him out there with no pads on. He's really quick.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. Alien Mastodon, are you going to get the first pick wrong again, Scott? Maybe, yeah. I mean, listen, hey, Jason Light.
No one gets every single pick right in the draft.
Jason Light doesn't know who he's going to draft right now. He knows who he maybe wants to draft. Yeah. He's got a handful of guys, but he doesn't have any control of who's going to be there at 26. So, interestingly enough, though, I will say, if you do go back a couple of years, and last year, we were surprised that Kalijah Kancey was picked. I mean, I'll be the first one to say I was surprised. But if you do go back, we did have Joe Tryon Tuiwenga as the Bucs' first-round pick in 2021. And I think we had Kyle Trask as the number two pick.
That is also true.
And we also had Logan Hall as a first-round pick as well. So I'm just saying, like, recently we've two out of three, unfortunately, the two guys that weren't that great. But it's not our job, Matt, necessarily to advocate necessarily for players. It's not our job to – like, for example, I don't love everybody in this mock. I really don't. And I'll tell you what I'm not really a fan of when we go through these names here in just a second. But it's our job to tell you who we think the Bucs are going to draft, right or wrong, right? And that's what we do. And that's why we do the Bucs' best bets, which is very hard. We only have two. We have two guys out of all of the positions or out of all the players at a certain position. We pick two. We say this guy, if it's going to be rounds one through three, and this gap is going to be rounds four through seven. That's still hard to do. That's really hard to nail those. And we'll see what happens come Thursday. And speaking of Thursday, Matt, it's a really special night because it is not just draft night, but it's also the kickoff for the Pewter Report Draft Show.
Yes, very excited for the Pewter Report Draft Show, of course, presented by Celsius, the official energy drink of PewterReport.com. We've done the Pewter Report Draft Show for quite a while now, and each year it gets even more exciting. We will be live streaming every single day and night of the draft, starting with Thursday in round one. We will start at 7 p.m. Eastern, so that's an hour before the draft starts, and we go all the way until the end of the draft, not just when the Bucs are on the clock, but when the draft is officially done. So it's a great time. We have all the Pewter Report roster, I guess, if you want to say, on the show. So if you're more of a fan of Josh Capo than me or Sly or Bailey, they'll all be on the show. We interact with everybody in the comments. We keep it very, very Bucks centric at NFC South. But of course, you know, we comment on all the big public things. If one team in the top 10 makes a crazy pick that we did not see coming, like when the Raiders took Cleveland Farrell a couple years ago from Clemson. We talk about that, and it gets super fun as it goes on, as we try to pinpoint who the Bucs are going to take. So if you're busy on Thursday, that's fine. We'll be doing it Friday and Saturday as well. And then of course, tomorrow's show, we will be going through every single Bucs best bet for the 2024 NFL draft, from quarterback all the way to safety, breaking down who we most think the Buccaneers are going to draft, whether it's rounds 1 through 3 or rounds 4 through 7. So make sure you stay tuned for all of that. And like I said, the Pewter Report Draft Show is brought to you by Celsius, the official energy drink of PewterReport.com. Check out all the great flavors that Celsius has. I know my personal favorite is the Arctic vibe, but you can't go wrong with the Cosmic, Galaxy, or Astro vibes either. Peach vibe is fantastic as well. So if you need to know where to find a Celsius energy drink, go to the Celsius store locator on their website, punch in your address, and it'll tell you the closest location where you can pick one up. Could be a Walmart, 7-Eleven, health and fitness store, or maybe it's your bodega.
Bodega.
And once you keep going to your bodega, you know you love Celsius and you want to buy it in bulk, you can buy it in bulk. Go to Amazon, click on the subscribe and save, and have it sent to your place of residence whenever you want. You're in charge. You're the captain. You're the captain. Make Celsius your number one pick during this draft season. Celsius, the official energy drink of the Pewter Report podcast. And we got people in the comments giving their favorite flavor of Celsius. I absolutely love that. Maybe we should do that for another roll call down the road. But in the meantime, before we start talking about this draft, and we got a couple
of nice little comments here.
Mr. Folger says over 200 people watching, but only 20 likes. Get those numbers up to improve the algorithm and get them to 14,000 subscribers.
Well said.
Thank you, Mr. Folgers. Yes, we are trying to get to 14,000 as quickly as we can. And if you guys can hit that like button, it takes 2 seconds. You just go bam, bam. See, I'm doing it right now. Just hit that button. It takes 2 seconds. You can still enjoy the show. It just gives you a heads up when we are doing the show. So you can see things like when we give shout outs to everybody from Roll Call today. Another great turnout, so appreciate you guys. We'll give a quick shout-out to a couple of people, starting with sticking with Galveston, Texas. Jay, the movie collector from Galveston, he likes Latu, as he wants Latu as the Bucks' first overall pick. Collegeable from Dayton also likes Latu. Bill Vincent from The Villages, hoping for Jared Verse, but Jackson Parrish Johnson in reality. No pick here, but tough watching from Christchurch, New Zealand. Thought that was cool. Shout out to New Zealand. It. Nick Bowen, right in our backyard in Tampa, wants Jackson Powers Johnson. JB, watching from, I'm assuming, Hawaii. Kalua, Hawaii, wants Jared Verse. Going international again, Robert Jankowski from Hamburg, Germany. Big fan of Jackson Powers Johnson. Kevin from Tampa, Kevin 522, wants Graham Barton from Tampa. Justin says, Pewter Report on my birthday today from
Milwaukee,
Massachusetts. Happy birthday to you,
cool.
Justin. Hope that you're enjoying the show and have a great day. Tanner James Goff from Monterey, California, the heart of Bucks country, wants Marshawn Lloyd. Sorry, would be incredible next to Rashad White. Then we got King Buck McCain from Shreveport, Louisiana, wants Johnny Newton, a St. Pete local.
Yep.
Flutie from Clearwater wants Cooper DeJean. Felix from Edmonton, good luck to your Oilers. Looking for Malachi Corley. And Christopher Cole, last but not least, from Bartow, Florida, wants Jackson Powers Johnson. So a little bit of a mix there. So a lot of JPJ in the comments.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, appreciate all of you guys for watching the show and participating in Roll Call.
Definitely great turnout today. We love it. And we want everybody who's in this show, tell a friend to join you on Thursday night for our Pewter Report draft show, because it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a lot of cool stuff lined up and the best analysis that you're going to find when it comes to the draft. I think just like Bat was talking about, watch the draft, turn the volume down, and then turn the volume up with Pewter Report, and it's going to be a good time for all. Let's get on with this, shall we, Matt? No surprise here. Jackson Powers Johnson. If you remember, all the way back to January, we actually had Jackson Powers Johnson in our first mock draft in the second round. And then we went to the Senior Bowl, and he blocked every single person in sight and did not lose a single rep. Was only out there for like a practice and a half, but was so dominant, he didn't need to do much else. This is a guy that we've had the chance now to talk to at the Senior Bowl and the Combine, Matt. They had him in for a top 30 visit. The Buccaneers had a formal visit with him at the Combine. He loves Ryan Jensen. Why not get Ryan Jensen 2.0? I have advocated for Jason Light to trade up to get this guy. And the interesting thing, Matt, when it comes to Jackson Powers Johnson, is when I asked Jason at his pre-draft press conference, when do you start thinking about maybe making a trade up or trade down? Took him a while to get to the answer, but the answer was right around pick number 20, we'll kind of know what we're doing when it comes to potential trades. And what that told me was, you look at a couple of teams that need interior offensive line help, and whether it's Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon, whether it's Graham Barton from Duke, Matt, 16, that's one hurdle. The Seahawks could use interior line help. The Steelers could also use interior line help. Steelers pick at 20, Seahawks are at 16. If one of those guys, or maybe both, gets past the Seahawks and the Steelers, in other words, now 21's on the clock, I think the Dallas Cowboys would have an interest in either one of those players, and Tampa Bay would have to pick get ahead of them, because Cowboys pick 24th, Packers pick 25th, and the Buccaneers pick 26th. So that could be an indication that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers might consider trading up for one of those offensive linemen, and we think it might be Jackson Powers Johnson if he doesn't slide down to 26.
Yeah, I was going to say the Cowboys or even the Eagles might be another team that are just in front of the Buccaneers that they may want to get in front of. We all love Jackson Powers Johnson. We've talked a lot about him over the course of this. A guy that you can plug in and play right away. Brings the smash mouth mentality that you want. A very outgoing guy that I think would fit into not just the locker room, but the offensive line room. Greatly, especially with Tristan kind of being the leader in that group. And, you know, Luke Getteke obviously taking a ton of strides. And so Jackson Powers Johnson, he's got every single thing that you want in an offensive lineman, and I think would be an exceptional fit for the Buccaneers. We got this super chat from Jason Wadier with a great question. It says, between Grant Barden and Jackson Powers Johnson, which do you think the Bucs prefer if they can get either of them via staying pat or trading up a little bit?
Man, I don't know.
That's a great question. If both, because we haven't really considered that too much. If both are on the board, do you draft one and then immediately trade for the next pick?
Right. I don't know. I mean, it'd be interesting to find out. I think that's a question I'll probably be able to get an answer to after the draft, depending on what happens. But I think Jackson Powers Johnson, he can also play guard too. Keep that in mind.
Right. I think the versatility might kind of be the tiebreaker in this
situation. Yeah. Because you've seen him do it where with Graham Barton, he's got four or five snaps, or I should say starts at center his freshman season. But he does play tackle, Matt. And that's the interesting thing is because when you look at Graham Barton, that's been the mold. That's been what Jason Light has done. And I went back and looked and did the research on that. Might be the only one kind of throwing it out there. But Jason Light has drafted 10 offensive linemen since taking over as the Bucs GM in 2014. The first ever offensive lineman he drafted was a guard, Kadeem Edwards from Tennessee State in the fifth round. Mm. Every single player after that, including another offensive lineman later that round, Kevin Pamphill from Purdue, he was an offensive tackle, and they moved him inside the guard. So from Pamphill on, it's been 9 straight offensive tackles that Jason Light's drafted. He's not drafted a center, not drafted a guard. Every center or guard that this team has had has either come from free agency or it was a tackle in college that they drafted and kicked inside. Ali Marpet, Alex Kappa, Cody Mauch. They tried it with Luke Getteke. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Robert Hainsey. And so it'll be interesting to see if they buck the trend this year. I think they might. I think they actually will draft a guard. I think they will actually draft, you know, a center maybe, and we'll see.
Yeah, it's just real quick. It's crazy to think because it's not like the Bucs go sporadically with drafting offensive linemen. Like they draft the offensive linemen pretty much almost every single year for them to all be tackles. Yeah, I think it would be nice to mix it up and just draft the guy at his natural position and let him stay at his natural position.
Yeah, and I think they're looking for athletes, really. They're looking for guys that really are athletic. And I think Graham Barton, I mean, he played left tackle, so he's showing that. But I think the physicality, the quick feet, the strength that you want in a Ryan Jensen-type center is there in Jackson Powers Johnson. That's why we have him going there, number one to the Bucs. Lord Jimbo, too, says, I remember SR throwing shade at Hainsey when we drafted him, saying he doesn't look like an NFL player. Well, I don't know if I said that. I think I said his calves don't look like NFL offensive linemen. He's got very twiggy legs, and that was kind of the same problem that Caleb Benenock had coming out of UCLA a couple of years prior. And I just don't think Hainsey is really a starting caliber offensive lineman. I think he's average at best. I think we've seen the best of Robert Hainsey, and he's a smart player. I'll give him that. He's smart and tough, but he can only do so much physically. And I think that there's been a big drop off since Ryan Jensen has been out. And I think that a player like Jackson Powers Johnson just raises the bar big time.
I think Hainsey is a good backup center. Yeah. You'll feel fine if he has to start like a game or two, but if you can find a replacement a replacement for the whole season, you go and do it. And then you have a great depth piece at backup center who knows, maybe backup at guard if something happens too.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, Mr. Folgers, you've been great in the comments today. Thanks for the $2 super chat. Says thoughts on Cooper DeJean as a fit.
I love him. I think he'd be fantastic. I don't think he's going to be there. I think the Packers might take him a spot ahead of the Buccaneers. But if he's there, he's in the mix. Probably one of the players we've talked about the least, Matt, simply because I just don't think he's going to be there. And if he is, I think he's a tremendous fit. He's a ball hawk. He knows how to get to the end zone. He's a great punt returner. I would love Cooper DeJean to be a Buccaneer. But he's an Iowa guy. They like Iowa defensive backs. They like Iowa products. I think he'd be a perfect fit. Where does he stack or rank ahead of Jackson Powers Johnson, or behind, ahead of Graham Barton, or behind, ahead of Liatu Latu, or behind?
Right.
I don't know. But I would love to see the draft board have three or four of the guys we've talked about here.
Yeah.
And it'd be really interesting to see which one the Buccaneers pick. Do they pick need first, or do they pick best player available at 26?
100%. I think the most we've talked about Cooper DeJean is when Trevor Sycamore was on the show.
That's right,
not too long ago. And Trevor had essentially did his own roll call about Cooper. Just
he's good.
How he loves really him, good. How he can fit, how he fits with the Buccaneers as well. And yeah, that would be an interesting one because the Bucs, I'm not going to say are set at corner, but very much have all of their chess pieces on the board at corner, where clearly they need a center or a guard, as we've talked about. And clearly they can use an upgraded outside linebacker even after, signing Randy Gregory. So that would be, that's one of those you want to see the camera in the war room for the Bucs when it comes to that situation.
Agreed. In the second round, might be a bit of a surprise for you guys. We've tried to tell you, expect it. This is a good defensive tackle draft class. Rook Ororo. I didn't stutter when I said that. That's his name. Rook Ororo.
Yep.
It sounds like I'm saying Scooby-Doo, but he is a Nigerian native-born player that has been new to football, really didn't start playing football till his junior year in high school. And sack production's gotten better each year. This is a guy that's very strong, very quick, very athletic, very agile, and he is a player that has had a formal interview with the Buccaneers. He's been in for a top 30 visit. And when you look at Kent Lee Platt's relative athletic score for Rook Ororo, 9.92, that makes him the 15th most athletic defensive tackle out of 1,808 defensive tackles from 1987 to 2024. We know that they like defensive tackles, Matt. They drafted a pretty athletic one in Logan Hall 2 years ago. They drafted an even more athletic one last year in Kalijah Kancey, running that 4.67 in the 40-yard dash. And Rook Ororo is a player that has played every position from defensive end to nose tackle to three tech.
Yes.
And he can really help this Bucs defense.
I just did the write-up on him the other day doing the defensive tackles. And the biggest thing that stands out for me is, a couple things. But the speed, the power, but really the versatility more than anything else. Because I think Todd Bowles really wants to implement a lot more of the defensive line with kind of the crazy schemes that we talked about with Servasie Dennis and, with Yaya Diaby on the show, where Levante could line up at edge rusher, or Yaya could kick inside. Yaya even talked about that when he was on the show on Thursday. But you need the right pieces to go about doing that. So when you have a guy like Ruke, Aurora. I'm going to stick with Ruke. That gives Todd Bowles that flexibility and the possibility to kind of come up with different designs. And I was thinking about this as well, because when we had Will Golston on, and Will has been beating the drum for Logan Hall. There's no secret about that. Yep. And he said, this could be the breakout year for Logan Hall. And, you know, for the Bucks' sake, I hope that happens. For sure. I do too.
It needs to happen for
and
him.
Yeah. And I was thinking, even if Logan Hall has his quote unquote breakout year, I don't think that would even stop the Bucks from still drafting a defensive tackle, because they need that defensive tackle rotation. And it's great that Will's back, but he's also going into his 12th year. Mm-hmm. And Greg Gaines is on a one-year deal. And great teams always have a rotation of defensive tackles. Yeah. Vita Vea is in his prime. How much longer is he going to be in his prime? I still think he's going to be 20, fine this year.
29.
But he's missed 29.
7 games over the last 2 years combined, right? And so, you saw Elijah Cansey miss 4 games. And so,
Matt,
to your point, when Vita Vea is inactive and Elijah Cansey is a rookie out there and he's lining up next to Logan Hall, well, when one of those guys comes off the field, guess who's coming on the field? Mike Greene.
Yeah.
Or Greg Gaines, right? A huge drop-off, right? Mm-hmm. So imagine not having a drop-off. Imagine having another type of Elijah Cansey or Vita Vea, a player of that caliber, to where you always have two of those guys in the game at the same time. That's huge. Yeah. That's huge. And that's what you would get with the Johnny Newton. That's what you'd get with the Byron Murphy. That's what you get with the Rook Aurora. So I think it would be a great pick for Tampa Bay in the second round.
Yeah. We got a super chat as well from Cecil Stover. Thanks for the $1.99 super chat, who says, what about trading back with San Fran to acquire more capital? I see a bunch of round 2 and 3 that could pan out better.
I love that idea. If you can get a really good guy at with your first pick, you just don't want that to be a situation where, like, you're kind of stuck drafting Logan Hall, a Logan Hall type player.
Yeah,
like, you really want an impact player. But I'm with you, Cecil. There's so many players I like in the second and third round, from Malachi Corley to Marshawn Nealand, Ladd McConkey. I mean, Keon Coleman. There's a lot of players, I think, Mike Sainristil from Michigan, that could be absolute dynamite fits in the second and third round if the Buccaneers had more picks in those rounds.
Yeah, I don't know if I would want the Bucs to move all the way back to 31, where San Fran is. But if they were moving back to like 29, I would give the thumbs up for it.
Yeah.
31 might be a little bit too much. But hey, if they can get more draft capital and they run into that situation where they got, you know, 5 or 6 guys on the board that they still like, then hey, go for it.
Exactly. Let's get to the third round, and we'll kind of roll through these guys here a little bit quicker. Christian Mahogany is a player that Brandon Thorne really kind of put on our radar when Josh Capo and I did a draft show with him. It was more like a draft preview, looking ahead towards offensive linemen, and kind of a standalone podcast. And Mahogany really fits what Jason Light likes: nasty, physical, finisher, enough quickness to play in that zone blocking scheme, deadly in a gap scheme, and just a guy that is a good leader, big-bodied guard. And again, this would break the mold a little bit here, because we have them taking Jackson Powers Johnson, the center, in the first round, then now a guard in the third round. But, man, those two players right next to each other bring a whole lot of nasty, Matt. You plug this guy in at left guard, and you plug Jackson Powers Johnson in over Hainsey at center, and you might have a little bit of a learning curve there to deal with, but these are experienced players that I think could step in as rookies and play at an NFL level.
Yeah, it brings attitude. I think that's kind of the name of the game for the Bucs offensive line. And again, it keeps together a very, very young core offensive line. Even Tristan Wirfs is still very young in his career with everyone else. So you add Mahogany into the mix, you got a group that if and they have to pan out, but if Malk from last year and then JPJ and Mahogany all pan out, you're looking at one of the best lines in football.
That's right. No doubt. And we need to upgrade this running game. That's what Jason Light and that's what Liam Cohen and that's what Todd Bowles are thinking, right? Okay, well, if you're going to do that, you need somebody other than Rashad White to handle the load and toe the rock. So Marshawn Lloyd, a player that I think pretty much everybody at Peter Report likes. I know Josh Capo likes him. He was really kind of saying, I know we had him in the last mock, but we got to stick him in this mock as well, because he might be that big back that Jason Light is looking for. He is a big back. He's 220 pounds, very well-built, muscular guy, Only 5'9". He's very compactly built, has great burst, has got some 4.4 speed, an emerging receiver. But, Matt, there's a lot to like about Marshawn Lloyd, and I think that he would be a nice change of pace and maybe give the Bucs a little bit more physicality in certain situations.
Yes, I think one of the biggest improvements that the Bucs can have with Lloyd is in those short yardage situations, 3rd and 1, 3rd and inches, 3rd and 2. I don't care if everybody knows that Marshawn Lloyd is getting the football, just a guy that is going to ensure that you get the first down on these short yardage situations, which has hurt the Bucs before. I'm not saying that Rashad White cannot do it. I think he's capable of it, but just again, bringing in something a little bit different, a little bit of a battering ram, but a guy that can also make people miss and can kind of, you know, hit the speed button and take it down the field as well. Someone that complements Rashad White, that isn't a carbon copy of him. They both bring something a little bit different to the Bucs offense that I think are both needed, in my opinion.
I agree. And just a quick reminder, the PR Draft Show starts Thursday, 7 p.m. It's going to run for 3 days. We'll be live an hour before the draft, also on Friday at 6 p.m. And then we'll also have the day 3 coverage starting at 11 a.m. because the draft starts at noon. Don't miss it right here on Pewter Report TV, our YouTube channel, going to the 4th round. And everyone's thinking, all right, what about edge rusher? What about outside linebacker? Okay, Mohamed Kamara from Colorado State. Crazy production, 29.5 sacks, about 45.5 tackles for loss. Kind of in that mold that you saw with Shaq Barrett, who also played at Colorado State, Matt. Marquise Watts, a little bit of an undersized dynamo rusher, kind of in the same mold as well, 6'1", 250 pounds. And Jose Ramirez, they kind of have a type, don't they? They like these,
yes, they
these
do.
Undersized, quick, agile guys that can get to the quarterback. And Mohamed, 13 sacks last year, was one of the top guys getting to the quarterback last year in college football.
Yeah, everyone will talk about his sacks and tackles for loss, and there's great reason to. But I like that pretty much every single year except for 2020. He at least recorded one forced fumble. He had two in 2023 and two forced fumbles in 2022. Hey, that was the name of the game for Shaq Barrett. Yes, he got to the quarterback, but he knocked the ball out of the hands of the quarterback as well. So it's not a crazy amount by any means, but hopefully Kamara can kind of bring that to the next level as well. And he was a team captain. The Bucs love drafting players of that caliber, a guy that can come in and fit the mold of the locker room. And yeah, I mean, the depth, again, we talked about that corner kind of situating themselves correctly for the next season. The depth at outside linebacker, if they get Kamara, some of these other guys, very interesting in that room, because there's going to be a really good player that unfortunately can't make the 53-man roster, and the Bucs will try to stash on their practice squad.
I think you're right. And also, too, you look at the fact that Randy Gregory signed a one-year deal. Anthony Nelson's on a one-year deal. Like his final contract year. Same with Joe Tryon-Shoyinka, not picking up his fifth-year deal. So really half of your outside linebacker room next year with JTS, Nelson, and Gregory, their contracts are up. So then you're left with in 2025, of course, you're going to add some more players, but Yaya Diaby and Jose Ramirez and Marquise Watts. There's only three guys that are under contract in 2025. Adding another edge rusher makes a lot of sense. In the 6th round, not real crazy about this pick, to be perfectly frank with you. This is a Cornelius Johnson, wide receiver from Michigan. Reminds me of another Johnson, Tyler Johnson from Minnesota, who was a 4th round pick a couple of years ago. This selection here would be in the 6th round. Johnson's a steady Eddie. He's not that flashy of a guy. He will make some contested catches. He's just under 6'3". He's over 200 pounds. He runs a 4.44. He's fearless across the middle. There's a lot to like about him. He's also a very good run blocker. You have to do that if you want to get on the field as a receiver at Michigan, because they run the ball with Jim Harbaugh. Yeah. But he had 2 block punts back in 2021. He can play some special teams. And really, this is a 6th-round wide receiver. You're not expecting him to necessarily be wide receiver 3 or the next wide receiver 2, but he would add some competition for Trey Palmer on the outside and would give Tampa Bay another bigger body with a bigger catch radius, which is something that Liam Cohen wants.
Yeah, even with Michigan being a very run-heavy team, there were some talented wide receivers in front of him. So obviously knows how to play within himself in a great room, which obviously if you come to the Bucks, you do that. If the Bucks with Mike and Chris, if the Bucks aren't taking a wide receiver until the sixth round, it leads me to believe that they do have a legit amount of faith in Trey Palmer to step up and truly be
Jarrett, they keep talking him up, you know?
Yeah. Rakeem Jarrett, they talk very highly of. Yeah. I think Devin Tompkins kind of his role is what it is. He's going to be punt returner and gadget guy, I guess. So we'll see.
Exactly. And then rounding out the draft in the seventh round, a player that they brought in, and actually they did have informal visits with Mo Camara at the combine and an informal visit with Cornelius Johnson at the combine. But this guy they brought in for a top 30 visit, and a very interesting player, a player that would fit Todd Bowles' scheme like a dream. Air Force safety Trey Taylor, who was actually the Jim Thorpe Award winner this year.
Yeah.
Three interceptions, seven pass breakups, hits like a missile, and can rush the passer, a very good blitzer off the edge. Played about two-thirds of the snaps in the box, about a third deep. He can also be in the slot as well. And I like his ball skills. I like his tackling ability. There's a lot to like about this guy. He is a mature leader. And I'm a big fan of Trey Taylor. I would love to see this be a seventh-round pick for the Buccaneers, if he's still around.
Another player that fits the billing of just caliber of human being that the Bucs want, not just a football player. They've taken some, I guess, risks. I don't even know if you want to call it, but sometimes their late-round guys or even undrafted guys have panned out, whether it was Zion McCollum or Christian Isian, who wasn't even drafted. Todd Bowles knows how to work with rookie defensive backs, and yeah, it'd be cool if they got Taylor, who can kind of help add to that in not a starting role, obviously, right away, but a guy that can learn and kind of create his own game and eventually step up if it's warranted to.
Yep. If you're looking for somebody to step up, well, I got a guy that you want to get on your team. You better draft Eric Gross. That's right. Make him your pick this week when it comes to your realtors, because he is the official realtor of Pewter Report. Eric and Caitlin Gross own the Eric Gross Group, part of the eXp Realty Group. Eric knows this area like the back of his hand. He is a Tampa native. His dad was stationed at MacDill Air Force Base. You got to visit this website. It's really well done. It's laid out. Housesinfla.com. If you're thinking about buying a new house, selling your house, moving into Florida or out of Florida or around Florida, you want Eric on your team. There's just no doubt about it. Give him a call at 513-907-4271. This is still kind of a crazy real estate market. Eric's got the experience that you're going to need, whether it's buying or selling your home. So make sure that you have a Pro Bowl caliber realtor in your corner, and that's what Eric Gross will be for you. Have the conversation start off with some Tampa Bay football. He'll talk draft with you. Once you get to know him, I think you're going to want to do business with Eric. But it all starts with that phone call, 513-907-4271. You can visit them on their social media page, Facebook and Instagram, Eric Gross Group, or again, housesinfla.com for their inventory and their open house schedule.
That's right. So check that out. Make sure you're back for tomorrow's show as well. Got a fun one coming up where we talk about the Bucks' best bets for the 2024 NFL Draft, going through every single position. Scott does Bucks' best bets every year, and he's done fantastic with the percentage that he hits on with them. So it's definitely one you're going to want to tune in for, because it's a good chance the Bucks draft one of these players. And then, of course, no show on Wednesday this week because we have the Pewter Report draft show presented by Celsius coming up on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But of course, it all starts on Thursday with the first round starting at 7 p.m. We go live an hour before the show. And then, of course, we keep going until the first round is done and then do it all again on Friday and Saturday. So very excited for the Pewter Report live draft show coming up this Thursday at 7. Until then, make sure you're following us on all of our social media on X, Facebook, and Instagram. We're at Pewter Report. And our YouTube channel is Pewter Report TV. We got the podcast. We got various videos. A lot of shorts go on. A bunch of
great guests last week, too, man.
Yeah, so Tabashi, if you like when we bring on Bucks players like Sarasi Dennis and Will Golston and Yaya Diaby, if you like when we have on Trevor and Greg Cosell, please like and subscribe so we can keep doing that and bringing on more people that you want, just putting on more entertaining shows. It'd go a great way if you could like and specifically subscribe to Pewter Report TV. Tell your friends, send an email to coworkers, whoever. Oh, you like the Bucks? Check out this podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel. So that's going to do it for us on today's show. For Scott Reynolds, I'm Matt Matera saying thanks, everybody, for watching. We'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. for another edition of the Pewter Report podcast. Out.
Out.